Thank you for joining us here at the Sunshine and Oranges podcast, where we hope to encourage you to fill your home with faith and joy. So grab your cold brew coffee or tea and reflect on God's goodness with us. Hey, welcome back to the Sunshine and Oranges podcast. I'm so excited to be talking to you today. As I record this, we are a couple weeks into our summer. And you may be wondering, wow, I have not heard this podcast in a long time. What is going on? So if you hadn't been informed from before, from our Facebook page, we did a weekly podcast, which we gave more information about Classical Conversations weekly memory work, kind of as it came up, if you were following along in a CC community. And honestly, it turned into a little bit too much and we couldn't sustain it any longer and also focus on our own homeschool. And we had a few things come up in our own lives personally that made it difficult to continue anyway. One of my things with business right now in this moment is I need to make sure that the things that I do as a business closely aligns with something I'm doing anyway. It is a busy season of life, and I want to give my attention to my kids. And my ministry is my children. And right now, God has called me to homeschool them. And so that was kind of where the notebooks, the Classical Conversations, compatible notebooks, that was a complete accident, I think, that it was successful because I made them for my kids so many years ago. And then it turned into, hey, why don't you distribute this? And, you know, CC was cool with what I was doing because it didn't have any memory work and everything just kind of piled upon that. And then I brought my friend Sarah along. She actually was the one who inspired me to start CC, which has been so fun to have her. And that's when the podcast was born. And it's been so wonderful to collaborate and create with her and bring more resources to challenge parents and essentials parents with the different things that she has helped me create and actually really spearheaded. And I am so thankful for her and her friendship. And it's been so much fun doing all of these things with her. And I'm excited to have her join me again on the podcast in the future. So it'll be like old times. But moving forward, we are going to be turning this podcast into a general homeschooling resource, and we are morphing Sunshine and Oranges into a general homeschooling blog with a tiny little shop. And all of the notebooks that we have will still be on Amazon, and we are also working on homeschooldownload.com, which is going to be a universal homeschooling printable worksheet subscription, or you can purchase things a la carte resource for one of those days where you just need some extra printables, or you just want to take a break, or you're in transition with curriculum and you're not sure what to do, or you use CC as your curriculum and you need some different resources and printables to help them with their memory work or multiplication tables, or you're Charlotte Mason follower and you need some narration help. Anything. We are having a great time brainstorming what we're going to add. So we're going to be adding new printables every month and different things for Bible study for moms, different copy work, worksheets and resources. We're going to try to get some ebooks on there too. I'm actually trying to write a homeschool mom devotional, and we're working on science cards and some other Bible verse cards. So we have a lot of projects and fun things coming down the pipe because, I don't know, I just feel like I can't stop creating because that's just my outlet. And it's just something that I enjoy doing. And I want to bring God the glory for it. And so I'm just kind of here saying yes to what he leads me to, as long as it doesn't overstep the ministry to my kids. And I'll always be trying to balance that, I think. I think anybody out there who has a job as even a single mom and trying to homeschool and work and everything else. For whatever reason, if you have to work, you understand. And even if you don't work, you understand. It is always a balance in trying to figure out how to fit in your gifts that God has given you with the ministry and the calling that you have at home. And I think it's just a forever balance. And we have to remember that as long as we fill ourselves with what God is teaching us in His Word and filling our energy levels with His plans and goals for our lives, I think that we're going to bring Him much glory with the loaves and the fishes that we offer Him. And you know what? I just really don't think we're ever going to achieve perfect balance until we get to heaven. And we're going to try. And I think that's so great to try. But right now, I don't know, having four children at home and trying to do homeschooling, even if I had nothing else going on, I don't know if I would be able to arrive at any one place where I have figured everything out. So anyway, with that being said, I'm just super thankful that you're here. And my first kickoff podcast, if you've been following us on Instagram, we have been talking about teaching style and the Enneagram. So I have invited Morgan Breipole, which she'll be Morgan Maxie, tomorrow, which is exciting. So you can send her a little message and congratulate her. She and I got to talk about the Enneagram. And one of the things that has helped me with these personality type tests, like Myers-Briggs or the DISC profile and Enneagram, it's just helped me understand a little bit more about me and about my style and about my personality. And that's really helpful and encouraging, actually, because sometimes in my early homeschool years, I was like, what is wrong with me? I'm just messing up all over the place. Why am I even doing this? My kids are going to be ruined, you know, all of those things. But then I realized, okay, first of all, I am their mother that God has given them. And these are the kids that God has given me. And He is sovereign and good, and He did this on purpose. So that's number one that helped me understand that. And number two, also understanding the bond with my husband and I and how he operates is a little bit different than how I operate. And that's good because the kids need to understand that type of person and personality and learn the skills that he is stronger in than I am. And three, the kids are different. Each and every one of my children are different. And they may be extroverted and it can be very loud in my home. They're quiet right now, which is wonderful. But sometimes that gets to me and that gets me the wrong way and I get frustrated and I just want a quiet space. I'm extroverted too, but you know what? When it gets really loud, I just kind of want to escape and get away and have a quiet space and have everybody be quiet. And to understand that a little bit better and to understand that that's actually a gift that they're extroverted, that they're expressing themselves and expressing their feelings to me. And just that shift of thinking of things as a gift instead of a burden is such a game changer in the home. And it sets the tone for peace and it helps your homeschool life so much better, I feel, when I know this. And so when I had this conversation with Morgan about the Enneagram, she helped me to understand that my Enneagram type, when I'm stressed out, I tend to be more controlling. And that's something that I actually hadn't noticed consciously. But when she said that, it was like a nail on the head. I realized that I do need more structure. And I know that that helps me function better, even though it's not quite my personality. But when I get stressed out, it's almost like I'm trying to make up for everything that I don't do right. And I try to rein it in really hard and I try to control them all of a sudden. And instead, I should just really step out of the house with them and go on a walk. And that is what would be better for me and my Enneagram type. And I think about that right now and I'm thinking, yeah, that's exactly what I should do. And that's exactly what I need to do. Because I know that that would be best for my home and for my homeschool. So let's go ahead and take a listen to the interview that we had with Morgan Breipohl-Maxey. All right, I have Morgan Breipohl here, and I'm so excited to tell you actually that she's getting married in 2 weeks. And so her name will actually be Maxey after this. By the time this is published, I'm so excited to have her on the show. She is gorgeous and sweet. She's godly, fun, and incredibly stylish. And I'm going to go ahead and let her introduce herself. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
Morgan.
Thank you so much, Amy, for having me. And wow, what an introduction. I hope that I can rise up to that. But just want to say, first off, thank you for having me on your show. I'm really excited and honored to be here today. Like Amy shared, I am getting married in a couple weeks. So I'm all about love, and I'm excited that I get to share about my love for the Enneagram with you guys. I am a certified Enneagram coach from Sacramento, California, and ultimately I decided to become a coach because I wanted to empower and encourage the people around me by helping them reconnect with their authentic selves through the Enneagram.
Awesome. I love that. And so I've kind of gone through life. I've heard of Myers-Briggs profiling and DISC profiling. Tell me a little bit more about this Enneagram.
Yeah, so I would say when I did personality tests in the past, I kind of felt like there's a way for me to kind of manipulate the system, where at the Enneagram, it really gets to the core reasons and the core fears and the desires of who you are. So I'm aware that not everybody has heard of the Enneagram before, so I did want to give you just a brief breakdown of what the Enneagram is. Essentially, it is a 9-sided diagram. You may have seen it on the internet. And each side within the diagram represents a different number or personality perspective. And a lot of people are like, that's great. Please explain that further. So gladly I will. So I would like you to picture yourself wearing a pink pair of sunglasses. So the person next to you is going to be wearing a blue pair of sunglasses. You guys are interacting with the same world, going about the same day, but because you have a different colored pair of glasses on, your perspectives are ultimately going to be different. And what the Enneagram does is it kind of opens up that light to you so that you're able to understand, like, oh, this is why this person, even though we're interacting with the same exact situation, is experiencing something completely different than I. And the Enneagram is most popularly described as your internal GPS. It helps you know why you think, feel, and behave in a certain way, and shows you what direction is best for your internal personal life. And this is where my role comes in as an Enneagram coach. It is ultimately my role to make sure that your internal GPS is guiding you into the right direction.
Okay. So there's 9 different types. Now explain what those 9 different types are.
The first type, I'm going to go in chronological order. We're going to start with our type 1s. And for each type, I'm going to be giving a 2 descriptive word just so you kind of have an idea of what really embodies that particular type. So type 1s are known as our moral perfectionist. These people are sensible, ethical, responsible, serious, self-disciplined, orderly, and feel personally obligated to improve themselves in the world. And I'm also going to be going over each type's core fear, core desire, and the way that that type reflects God. So type 1s, their core fear is being bad and wrong, and they desire to be good and have integrity. And the way that they reflect God is through their goodness and righteousness.
And first, I just want to interrupt here, and I just want to say how I love that you put in, you talk about those godly characteristics for each one. And that's one thing I love about your business too, is you can talk to people and coach people from a Christian perspective. And I love that. So I just wanted to point that out real quick.
Thanks, Amy. I do really like that aspect of it. I think it's really difficult sometime in a church setting, like where do I fit into this? Like, what is my spiritual gift? And the Enneagram kind of guides you right to that. So I really love that.
That's awesome.
And now we're going to be moving on to our type 2. So our type 2s are known as supportive advisors. These people see the world through relationships and define themselves through service to others. They are selfless, loving, and they can be dependent or even prideful at times. Their core fear is being unloved and needy, and they need to feel desired and appreciated by those around them. And they reflect God through their love and nurture. Type 3s are known as our successful achievers, and their core desire is to be successful and admired, and they fear being a failure or being inefficient. And they reflect God through their hope and radiance. These people measure themselves by external achievement and may be truthful and accomplished, or they can be competitive and fake. Type 4s are known as our romantic individualist. These people live primarily in their imagination and feelings. They may be artistic or creative or whiny and self-absorbed. Their core fear is being inadequate and defective, and their core desire is to be special or authentic. And they reflect God through their creativity and depth. All right, so next we're going to be talking about our type 5s, and these people are known as our investigative thinkers. These people tend to pull back from the world and others and prefer to live in their minds. They may be wise, visionary, or abstract and stingy. And their core fear is being ignorant and incapable, and their core desire is to be knowledgeable. And they reflect God through their wisdom and truth. Type 6 is known as our loyal guardians. These people anticipate life's dangers, and they are faithful, courageous, cowardly, and paranoid. And type 6 is actually the most common number on the Enneagram. So,
oh, interesting. Sure.
Yeah, it is. So they're the worriers. They tend to be the people who like worry a lot, and they want to feel safe and secure. And that's their core desire, to have support and security. And their core fear is being without support. And they reflect God through their faithfulness and courage. Type 7s are known as our entertaining optimists, and Amy here is actually our type 7, so thank you for recognizing us today.
Yes,
and these people plan and anticipate positive future events. They like having multiple options, and they don't like being bored or limited. They may be well-rounded and affirming or escapist with an insatiable appetite for excitement. My fiancé is also a type 7, so that's nice. Awesome. We're a great pair. It works great. And their core fears is having emotional pain and missing out, and they desire to be satisfied and content. And they reflect God through their joy and abundance. Type 8s are going to be our protective challengers, and these people fear appearing weak. So they create an image that they are strong, able to prevail, and committed to those who are innocent. They fear being powerless or weak, and they desire to protect themselves and their loved ones. And they reflect God through their power and protection. Type 9s are known as our peaceful mediators, and these people are very receptive to their environment and downplay their own opinions. They can be loving and down-to-earth or stubborn and lazy. They fear being in conflict and being unimportant, and they love having a peace of mind. And they reflect God through their peace and oneness.
That's so cool and so interesting. And so I actually just really quick, how could somebody find out what their Enneagram style is? And I've heard of different things like I'm a 7 with a 6 wing, and you know, how can someone find that out?
Yes. So what I would say to that is a lot of times the Enneagram is very multifaceted, and a lot of people go about it by taking a test online. But a lot of times when you take a test, it can be slightly inaccurate. So I like to tell people to read the book and kind of go from there. The book that I read is called The Road Back to You by Ian Morgan Crome. And essentially, it'll ask you a couple of questions. One of those questions is, how do you make decisions? So some people make decisions through their thought process. Some people do it with their heart. And other people do it with their gut or instinctual feelings. And you kind of look at those and you say like, okay, I make a lot of my decisions with my thoughts. Then you could be a 5, 6, or 7 because those three numbers are in the thinking triad. Mm. And numbers 8, 9, and 1 are in the gut instinctual triad. And numbers 2, 3, and 4 are in the feeling triad. So that's a really good place to start too. Another good place to start is to ask yourself the question, what is it that I struggle with? Do I struggle more with anxiety or shame? or anger. And there's a specific triad for each of those as well. And I'll go over that super quickly. So the numbers that struggle the most with anger are going to be numbers 9, 8, and 1. And it looks differently for each of these numbers. Eights are a little bit more outspoken about their anger, while nines kind of repress it and push it down and like, everything's fine. And ones are internally anger. So a lot of their anger hits them internally, so it might not be something that you actually see on the surface as well. Numbers 2, 3, and 4 really struggle with shame, and that can look different for each numbers. Twos can feel shameful because they feel like they're not helping enough. Threes might feel ashamed if they aren't achieving enough, and fours can feel ashamed if they feel like they're being emotionally too much, as our culture would say. And 5, 6, and 7s struggle a lot with anxiety. And for 7s, what that looks like is a lot of times like, oh, sitting still can make me feel uncomfortable because I have to think about life, both the good and the bad. So I'm going to seek an experience or something to kind of like run away from that, so to speak. And 5s, they get anxiety about having a lack of knowledge. So what you'll see in them is a lot of times they're just diving into the books and kind of grabbing knowledge, but not necessarily doing anything with it, just storing up for rainy day. And 6s are our most anxious number on the Enneagram. And they worry a lot about their friends not being there for them when they need them, or if a storm was going to happen, that might be something that they worry about. And it's ultimately because they always want to feel secure. And so it can look different on each individual, of course.
So sometimes throughout the year, as a homeschooling mom, things get incredibly difficult for a variety of reasons. Usually it varies for other people, for different people, from one mom to another mom or one family to another family. And we want to give up. But I do believe that there's just a way we can shift instead. So how can Enneagram be a tool for that?
Yes. So the Enneagram, it's an excellent tool to have in your toolbox. And this is because the Enneagram is an internal GPS. So once you get a little bit more familiar with the Enneagram, you'll become more aware of the different tools that you actually have access to. So I'm going to go over it briefly. So each number has a stress point and a growth point. And what that means is when you're stressed, you're going to slide into a different number. So as a type 1, for example, I slide to a type 4. And when I'm in a season of security or strength or feeling abundantly confident, I would move to a type 7. So what this means for you is you actually can utilize not only the unhealthy characteristics of your stress number, but the healthy characteristics of your stress number. So as a type 1, when I'm stressed, I can tend to go to a type 4. And the characteristics that are kind of involved in that are that I can be a little bit moody or depressive. However, the healthy characteristics of a type 4 allow me to use my strengths like creativity or music to cope me through a stressful situation rather than just kind of sulking in it. And I thought it'd be kind of fun to do an example for Amy because she's a type 7. And so when Amy slides into an unhealthy zone, she will actually kind of become a type 1, which is what I am. It's very funny. And she can become... funny. And it's funny. We're two peas in a pod. So yeah. That means essentially is that she may become overly perfectionistic or critical, and she may begin to blame others for their stress and become hyper-focused on trying to change others' behaviors. And as a homeschool mom, I would assume that this could be very difficult when you're trying to explain to your five-year-olds why homework is more fun than being
at home. Yes. Yes, totally.
Exactly. So, however, if she does recognize that she wants to give up, she can better cope with her frustrations by accepting the situation for what it is. Sometimes the day won't be fun and exciting, and that ultimately isn't a reflection of her or her teaching style.
I can totally see this in the day, actually. And it's funny because my kids are who I am most like this to. Like, I don't necessarily do this to my friends. Like, I'm not going to be, I tend to accept them more for what, you know, who they are and whatnot. And I'm more positive about things like that and those relationships. But my kids, I tell you what, that is like on point. I try to hyper focus and sit still, please, and do this work. And we're not done until we do it, or else you're not eating dinner. And that's totally not okay. Because then I'm like, no, I can't just not feed them dinner. That would be horrible. But then what I do, and then like when you said accepting the situation for what it is, that's what I tend to go towards. When I feel frustrated that I am being too hyper-focused on changing them, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I do need to just accept this and be more at peace with the way we're homeschooling, and let's go outside and look at the flowers and things like that. So it's super interesting that you said that, because that's right on.
But tagging on to that, is there something that you are currently doing or something that you would like to try knowing this tendency about yourself?
Instead of doing like a lesson based schedule, I've been doing time based scheduling with my kids and my subject matter, because I find that if they are not completing a lesson, then that's when my critical nature does come out, and I want them to finish the lesson before they move on. But then it's been an hour and a half or 2 hours. I found early on in my homeschool life was, you know, that they're sitting doing math and they're not doing anything really. They're just answering one problem every 20 minutes. And so I realized that was not working for me, because I was like, you can't move on or play until, you know, you are finished with lesson one. And that didn't work. And so what I did is I switched over to a time-based schedule where we do it for 30 minutes or 45 minutes, depending on their age. And then we move on, whether they've done two questions or if they've done 20 questions or completed the whole thing. And that has given us so much more freedom and peace in our home, because we just go on a schedule time, not lessons.
I like that. Yeah. It's a great idea.
Yeah. It's been so helpful. And, in our home, and I recommend it to everybody. And I hear it a lot. I feel like a lot of moms start out and they think that they have to complete everything, and you don't. That's what homeschooling is all about, is you get the freedom and the opportunity to tailor everything to your kid's speed. And eventually they catch up, you know, even if they do two questions every day for a few weeks, like they catch up and they see that, oh, I only have 30 minutes and I better catch up here. And they kind of learn it on their own a little bit.
Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like that's something even us as adults could really apply to our lives. I know sometimes we can get pinpointed in a task and maybe just give it 30 minutes and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah, totally. So speaking to all the homeschool moms listening, what would you say, what could they do? What are some practical tips that they could do to enjoy the school process best?
Yeah, so what I would say is I believe the single most essential ingredient in processing is time. You're going to need uninterrupted time, and depending on how old the kids are, it's only going to happen really, if we're honest with ourselves, if we get up earlier or go to bed later. So personally, I recommend getting up early every single day and just picking a time and sticking with it, because getting up early truly does give you time to process the day, and it automatically puts you on an offensive team. And what I mean by that is, honestly, if little Johnny comes in and wakes you up at 6:17 to tell you that he's wet the bed, you weren't planning on getting up until 7 a.m., you've already lost 43 minutes of precious sleep, and now you don't have time to process the day. And then this is what I call being on the defensive side of the day. So what that means for you is that you wake up and you're already troubleshooting your day. And I think that could be a really stressful way for moms to start, especially because you want to feel like you're on top of it. So getting up earlier and really creating that discipline, it's really important.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. I agree. Because you know what? When I get up, and there's a season where like my newborn has woken me up before the break of dawn, and that's it for the morning. And there's going to be seasons for that, and maybe finding rest later is good. But I tell you what, when I get up early and nobody's awake yet, I sit down, I have my quiet time with the Lord, and I meditate on His word, and maybe even get the dishes done. Like, it's already a head start. Like, I feel so much more at peace when that happens.
Yes. And you can even get a shower in. It's incredible what getting up early can do for your life.
Yes. It's like empowering it yourself. Yeah. And just the morning.
I'm less sleepy and smelly and stressed. It's a good thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then also some additional advice. This isn't actually just for homeschooling moms. And I believe that it really applies to all parents who stay home with the kiddos during the day. Whenever things get rough or chaotic, I really believe that it's important to leave the scene of the crime and get out of your house. Sometimes the task isn't the issue, it's the environment. Plus, everyone usually behaves a little bit better when they're in public. I know if I'm upset, I'm probably not going to respond the same way as I would in the privacy of my own home as I will in public. And I think your kids kind of have that too. So I'd really encourage you to just take a walk and go to Starbucks.
Yeah.
It'll definitely resolve itself with a change in environment.
Yeah, I agree with that too. It's just like, we all need fresh air, everybody out. And it's kind of like a good reset, because you get the kids in the car, even they're strapped down. They can't move. I mean, sometimes yes. They'll scream, but that's what lollipops are for. Right. And just going somewhere, put some audiobooks in. I have done that where I just even get the story of the world on and we just listen to it on audio and just drive nowhere. And then we go back home. And it's so true that there's something about getting out of the house, even just myself, getting a babysitter and getting out of the house, doing some errands and, you know, checking some things off the to-do list. You know, it's so helpful.
Yeah. Just drive to the not near Starbucks, 30 minutes away.
Yes, exactly.
It does wonders. It really does.
Yes, exactly. I agree.
Yeah. And then what I would also say about moms having time is that in a public school system, lunchtime is your time. And I think it's really important for moms not to guilt themselves into thinking that it's wrong to want time for themselves, even if their child is awake. If teachers get 45 minutes of free time during the middle of the day, you as a homeschool parent deserve to have the same. And I would suggest using this 45 minutes to check in with yourself, what has been the high and what has been the low of the day. And if the low is something you can troubleshoot, great. If not, just ride out that high wave all the way through the rest of the day until the next day.
I love that too, because quiet time, that's something that we have in our home, and it is about lunchtime. They have lunch and they go have quiet time, and it's mandatory for everybody. And I tell you what, it is amazing too. Like if I have been interrupted in the morning and I didn't get my quiet time, that's my quiet time also. And that's also time where I can do some fun things that feed me, I can, you know, talk to a friend or, you know, do something creative or something like that. Or catch up around the house, whatever I need to do, or take a nap.
Yeah. Or sleep forever.
That is real. Yeah, exactly.
That
is real.
Yeah.
I love that you said that. It's so true. And I think that giving moms permission to do that is so great. That is just so important. So moving on from the moms, let's talk about the kids. So how could knowing the Enneagram of our kids help us homeschool them better?
Yeah, so Enneagram numbers, it truly depends on the age of your child. The Enneagram generally develops more as your child is a teenager, and it'll become a little bit more defined. And knowing your child's Enneagram number is extremely helpful, especially when it comes to homeschooling, because each number has different learning desires, fears, and preferences. Example, as a type one, I enjoy speaking about them, and type ones are all about expectations and making sure things are fair and done right. So type ones, I've experienced this in group projects where I really enjoy having rubrics because it's very clear what I'm supposed to do and it's really clear what the other people are supposed to do in our group. And if you are interested in trying to determine, you know, like I think my child's old enough, I can figure out their Enneagram number. What I would suggest you do is kind of go through the core fears and desires and maybe have a conversation with them, or you can start paying attention about how they go about getting attention from you. I'm going to state the obvious here, but kids obviously need attention and they have already figured out how to get attention from you. And here are a couple of examples that I like to give when I'm talking to moms in particular. So if a child receives an ice cream cone every time they score a goal or they get an A on their spelling test, they might learn that achievement equals good and positive attention. This may lead them to become a type three and become hyper-focused on achieving and not achieving. So I don't want to give moms the pressure of thinking like, oh, well, I don't want to make them think that I only love them if they're achieving. That's totally like not up to you. That's up to the heart of the child and what their desires are. And they'll ultimately end up seeking those particular things. And then if a child gets an ice cream cone and a back rub and medicine every time they get sick or have allergies, they might decide that they will become sick a little bit more often and try and stay home from school because, hey, like, I'll be more supported and secure if I'm at home. So this is going to look a lot more like our type six. But I think it's really interesting. And a lot of people think like, okay, like, why does my child like respond to these certain things in our everyday life? And I think that a lot of it has to do with where they learned attention comes from. So if it comes from achievement, it comes from being sick, if it comes from whining, those might be some characteristics that you've seen develop in their older years.
It's almost like it grants us another sense of patience too with them, knowing that this is their personality coming out, and how we can see that each child is made in God's image and they're all different. And that's so neat that you can kind of almost see that and define that and almost understand them better. I always love to say to be a student of your child too. As you're homeschooling them, you're learning more about them and what ticks their clock and how you can mentor them best. And I think that's just parenting in general, is how you can get to know your child as they grow and develop. And oh my gosh, it gets confusing sometimes because they're like saying all these needs and you're like, I don't even know what you need either. But it's so true. They just need our time and our attention too. And our love for sure. So I love that. So tell me, how could somebody get in touch with you and be coached by you and learn some more information and, just kind of get some tools in their toolbox?
Thank you for asking. So you can find me at two different places. I have a business page and I also have a website. So the business page is on Instagram and it's at progress.perfection. And what I cover on that website is a lot of what I've talked about here. It's a lot of encouraging words, but I also like to tie a lot of Enneagram and personality tendencies all into the page. And Amy and I actually collaborated together, and there's going to be a really cool series coming up that you'll want to tune in for. It's called Enneagram and Teaching Tendencies, and this is where you'll get to actually learn a little bit more about the different types of tendencies each teacher has, the strengths that they have, as well as their opportunities for growth. So you're going to want to be sure to check that out. And then for general information, or if you just want to see what I've worked on in the past, I'd highly recommend you check out my website, and it's www.progress-perfection.com.
Awesome. I'm so excited for the posts too. So we'll be sharing those and pointing back to Morgan as well, and just helping to empower all of you lovely homeschooling parents out there to continue and don't give up the fight. Don't give up the fun too. It is such a blessing to be able to homeschool our kiddos. Thank you so much for joining us at the Sunshine and Oranges podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, you can help us by leaving a review or contributing to keeping us on the air at patreon.com/sunshineandoranges. Our story is simple. When you're discouraged in life, let's take a detour toward joy and look at the sunshine and oranges and remember how the Lord is so good to us to give us the warmth and the sweetness of life, even in the mundane. God's story and grace is weaved into every one of your lives. So let's shine our lights to each other and teach our kids to do the same. Talk to you next time, friends.